Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janice. We are just grateful to have you with us this afternoon as we come together to study the Word of God. We know we have been discussing taking a stand, how we stand up for righteousness, how we stand up for what is right. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4 and 13. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come today thanking you, God, for this opportunity. Thank you for this moment that you have given us that we can come together and we can learn more about you. We ask you, Heavenly Father, for your word to pour into our hearts that we may be drawn to be examples in your communities, in your churches, in your synagogues. Wherever you desire to take us, we want to be a light shining in a dark place, where we can tell men, girls, and boys all about you. And we thank you in advance for what we will receive in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And we thank God. We thank God for you and you. Yes, we do. We are just grateful today. We are grateful. As I stated earlier, we have been discussing taking a stand, standing for righteousness. Yeah, we have been discussing this for maybe 3 or 4 weeks now. Yeah. And we have learned so much. Last week we talked about Rahab, how Rahab, she took a stand. She took a stand and she just said it's time for a change. And she became the change. So this is what we're talking about, how we common folks can stand up for righteousness, stand up for what we know, stand up for what we've heard, stand up for what we have been taught. Yes, yes, yes. So we have been talking about the ability to stand up for righteousness, and we sincerely hope eyes and minds are open up to this opportunity that God has given all of us. The freedom of choice. Yes, it's the freedom of choice. At some point, somewhere, somehow, we hope you will receive the opportunity that God has given you. Receive it to stand, to make a stand, to have a voice. Even when you feel like you're standing alone, you're not. Remember, he is ever present with you. He is amazing how we forget how close God is. We forget. He is omnipresent. Yeah, he's omnipresent. I have to tell me that sometime. He's omnipresent. Remember where he brought you from. Remember the last time. Remember when this attack came, the same one, and how he brought you through it. You got to remember. Mm-hmm. There is a little of him for me and for you. Yeah, he's the God for all his people. And there even some for those who don't know him. Yeah. For those who don't know him, he's still there. He's still waiting. He hasn't given up on them. So family, don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your loved ones. So these lessons that we have been talking about, yeah, were really designed to push you to where you need to be in Jesus' name. We all have had to start somewhere in a crisis or in a shock, in some form of setting, a new beginning was performed, or it was created, it was designed. So let's look quickly at Ephesians 6 and 14, and it says, stand, Therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, stand. Simple, it means you're not laying down. You're not in that position. You're standing, and you have correct posture. Yeah, your feet are flat on the ground. They're flat on the floor. You're actually standing up, and you're standing tall. Mm-hmm. But you can also spiritually stand for things when you know they are not right. Regardless of where you are, home, community, job, everywhere, there is no isolated place where folks can't hear the word of God. There is none. Mm-mm. Yeah, God is everywhere. He is everywhere. Also, we see the word loins. Loins is a part of your body. On both sides of your spine, between your lower ribs and by your hip bones, these are your loins. So it's saying here for you to girdle them up. So that means for you to prepare for battle by covering them up, protecting them, and this get protection in this area. How many people have ever been attacked in this area? Yeah, you're going out to war. You got to have on your war clothes. Yeah, so spiritually you might girdle your loins tightly with a belt. Mm-hmm. Button up, cover up before confronting anyone or anything. Just make sure you're fully clothed. Just make sure you got on your armor. Yeah, you got to have on your armor. And you got to have on truth. You know, it's so important to have truth on. See, a lie can't take you far. A lie can just, hey, lie right now and drop you right there. But the truth, glory to God, the truth can carry you on for years and years. The truth, the word of God is the truth, and it's been here before I was here. And it's going to be here when I leave. The word of God is the truth. So we need to decide today to stand up. Stand up. And give the truth. Stand up for righteousness. Don't lay down for anything. Stand up. Learn to take a stand. Learn to start a new beginning. Have a new beginning. There's nothing wrong with starting new. There's nothing wrong with starting over. So in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1, we see it says here that I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now, who is this saying this? This is in Mark, chapter 1. He says, I am the voice crying in the wilderness. His name just happens to be John the Baptist. And he is one. He's crying in the wilderness. And just think about the wilderness mentality. You know how you said, oh, I'm all by myself. I'm all alone. Nobody here care about me. But John wasn't doing that. He wasn't having a pity party. He was in the wilderness, but he knew what he had to do, and he was getting focused. Yeah, he was getting focused. Yeah. So let's look closely at John. And how he brings the good news. He's bringing a good news. He got a word that he's bringing. Oh, yeah, he's bringing something. He's not just out there entertaining himself, being idle. No, he is all about the Father's business. So let's see in verse, we're going to start with verse 6, and it says, and John wore clothes woven of camel hair, and had a leather girdled around his loin, and ate locusts and wild honey. Now, when I read that, I was saying to myself, okay, here we talking about taking on righteousness. We talking about leadership. We talking about all these things that we as leaders are supposed to do. But now look at John. He's wretched. He's undone. He don't have on a starched shirt. Hello? He probably don't have on no shoes. Huh? And he definitely not going to no 4 or 5 star restaurant. Come on, think about it. Look at him. But he is determined to make a stand. Glory to God. Oh, so it but they said everything. Make sure you get to understand. Make sure you are completely understanding what the Word of God is saying to you. Yeah, look at John. Mm-hmm, look at him. He's wretched. He's undone. He's not. It says that his clothes is what? Camel hair. Whoa, look at that. Now, when I saw that, I said, wow, how many of us could wear that? Ooh, how many of us would wear something camel hair? Most of us really don't know too much about the camel hair. We know about wool, or we know about minks. We know about things of this sort. But as far as the hair of a camel, I don't think not too many of us have engaged in that. But it's still in the family of furs, because it's something that's probably soft. But this is what he had on. And it didn't say that he had on a shirt. It didn't say he had on pants. It didn't say he had those type of garments. It didn't even say he had on a jacket or a coat. He just said here that the clothing that he wore was of camel hair. And it says, and he had a leather girdle around his loins. And it talked about what his appetite was, what was really available to him. The only thing that was available to him was the wild locusts and wild honey. Now, you know honey is good. My mother loved that cane syrup, which is very close to that honey. And it is good, but you see, the thing is, we are so conditioned to the things that are so refined and so we're more into going into the store and getting certain things certain way. Well, see, this is outdoors. This is outside. And when I was studying this, I was thinking about how you could be in a situation, and we've heard people in situations where they either the car went off the road or they got off the trail and they got lost and they had to get into a survival mechanism. They had to decide how they were going to survive while they were in there until somebody found them. But now think about this. John is not in that state, but he still knows how to survive. And he's eating. He's eating locusts. What is a locust? It's in the family of a fly. That's what I was saying. Somebody said the family of a fly lizard. I mean, this is, you know, think about it. This is what he ate. And he had what? Wild honey. So this was, wild honey could have been the dessert. And you see, the thing is, how many of us, me included, would actually drop all the stuff that we're so used to having and being around and go into the wilderness. Go into the wilderness and learn more about God and hear his voice. How many of us would do that? Yeah. Look at him. And he is determined that he is giving the word of God. He's going to give it. He's standing tall. Even though he may not have what we're used to, but what he has, he is well contented. He's well contented. He's standing. He's standing for something. He's standing for the challenge that has yet to come. Yeah, he says here in verse 7, and he says, and he preached saying, after me comes he who is stronger, more powerful and more valid than I, the scrap of whom his sandals are. He says he's not even worthy to scoop down and unloosen his sandals. Think about that. How do you feel? Do you feel like you're worthy? Or you can go ahead and you're worthy enough you can go down there and, you know, unscrap or unloosen Jesus' sandals? Because you have done everything and you have crossed all your I's and dotted all your T's. You have stayed sinless. Do you feel that you are worthy too, that you can go and do this? Now John is saying he don't even feel he's worthy enough. He don't feel that he is worthy enough. He says that I have baptized you with water. He said, but he will He will. Listen to that. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Oh, yeah. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Ghost. He's going to baptize you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep in mind, baptism, what is that? Baptism is an outward show that I have accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's what baptism is for us. But here we're talking about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is a spiritual, ooh, hallelujah, a spiritual appointment, a spiritual washing and cleaning, which is, to me, is better than the actual the original baptism. This is the best. This is the best that what Jesus is going to come into. Yeah. That's what, this is the best. Glory to God. And so here we said that the original baptism is physical, but the second baptism, which comes from Jesus, is the spiritual baptism. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Yes, yeah, something about being in the wilderness. Something about being in the wilderness. See, when you're in the wilderness, you're not distracted with all this stuff. Yeah, I was just telling somebody, turn the music down because you can't hear God over the music, and he's not going to come and holler over the music. Turn it down. How can you hear God when you got the music loud all the time? He may come in a whisper, and you missed him. Why? Because it's so loud. Oh, yeah, in the wilderness, if there is a bird, you will hear it chirping. You're going to hear this. The branches that you may walk on, you're going to hear them crackling too. Yeah, I like to go in the forest. I go in the forest myself. And I know what's in the forest. And you will hear these things. You will see things move quickly. A rabbit or whatever. Something in it. You will see. But if you don't take time and engage when you're in the wilderness, you just may miss something. But here we see that John is taking a stand. And his stand is that he is preparing. He's the forerunner. He's preparing to go forward. He's preparing to take a stand. Mm-hmm. So here we see in Luke chapter 4, we're looking at Jesus' ministry. Jesus has a ministry that is just beginning to start. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he gave the Holy Spirit. He gave it. He received the Holy Spirit. He gave the Holy Spirit to us. Yeah, he gave it. He had it too. He used it. Oh, yeah, when he was tempted by the enemy, the Holy Spirit was present with Jesus. Glory to God. Okay, Luke 4 and verse 1 says, "Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Holy Spirit." He was led. See, when you're led by the Holy Spirit, that means you got the comforter, you got the keeper with you. All you got to do is follow. All you got to do is be in attendance to what he says to say to you, where he said for you to go. Should you turn right or should you turn left? You just listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say. Yeah. Yes, the Holy Spirit will talk. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Verse 2, and it says, "For 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus was tempted by Satan." Can you imagine that? When I was reading that, I was saying 40 days, ooh, 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 in the wilderness, and it said Jesus ate nothing. He ate nothing during the 40 days. And I remember just me trying to have a fast. I think I was on the third or fourth day, and I was trying to do just a liquid, and I got weak. I was with my relative, and I got weak, and something was wrong with me because I looked like I was going to pass out. But, I mean, if you do it enough, if you engage in this type of fasting long enough, and you do it quite often, you become strong in this area. You get strength, and you can push on maybe past 3 days. Sometimes you can go into 7. But here we see that Jesus fasted for 40 days. Yeah, and said, "Go, Jesus, go." That's what I said. "Go, Jesus, go. 40 days with no food." signs of determination, signs of a strong need to make a stand, a sign of his redemption, a sign of his redeeming power. That's what we were witnessing right there. Yeah, and Jesus was on display showing it to us, showing it to the world, that he was determined to fulfill the assignment that his Father had given him. Verse 14 says, then Jesus went back full and under the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee, and the fame of him spread through the whole region. Now, when we say the fame, think about that. Think about that. When we say, oh, the fame, he was, meaning he was so famous. He was so well known. He was so well liked. He was so well heard of. Yeah, that's more heard of because he had a lot that he could give. You know, if you're in the ministry and you got a lot that you can give, you can heal people, you could do this and you could do that, or you're going to have a lot. It's going to be tight. It's going to be crowds in there. But if you one who just dry and kind of bland, and every now and then you said, hallelujah, you just may be there all by yourself, okay? But Jesus, who was the anointed one, he was the anointed one. He was the Lamb of God. Glory to God. And people acknowledged, they saw that he was doing things that they had never seen, and so he was really the prophet. He was the one. So it was words all about Jesus, who this Jesus was. And it says here that after the wilderness and after the tempting, Jesus continued under the power of the Holy Spirit. And if anything should be spread here, you know, people spread a lot. They spread a lot of rumors. They spread a lot of things that are not true. But if you're going to spread anything about Jesus, if you're going to just go ahead and say something about boast, if you're going to go into the boasting, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31 says, so that as it is written, it says to let the one who lasts, let him boast in the Lord. How you boast in the Lord? You boast what he's done for you. You boast about where he done brought you from. Glory to God. Boast about how he healed your body. Boast about how he took care of your family when you were out there on the road and the car had broke down. There was nobody around. You was all by yourself. And Jesus sent somebody. Boast about that. That's the kind of stuff you need to be boasting about. Yeah, you don't need to be tearing nobody down. You don't need to be saying all kind of things that are really not true. Boast about where he has brought you from. Now, you may not know him. You may not have that relationship with him yet. But boast about what you feel will happen. Yeah. That you know that he loves you. Even if you know you haven't been doing everything you should do. Huh? Even though you know you shouldn't. You haven't been doing it. And, you know, many times, that's what I always said, that we don't have to go to the sinner and keep telling the sinner that you're sinning. The sinner know he's sinning. He know it already. He don't need you to keep you sinning. You're not going to heaven. He don't need that. If anything, he needs you to say a prayer for him. Just come and whisper some kind of words of encouragement. That's what he needs. Let him know that Jesus loves him. Yeah, he don't need to hear the condemnation that we like to put on them, but he needs to hear that Jesus is ever present, that all he have to do is call on him and Jesus will come. Jesus will show up even for him, even her. Yeah, yeah. The Holy Spirit gives us something reflecting in the natural as well as in the supernatural. The supernatural power of love and self-discipline. Yes, we can be self-disciplined. We can have self-control. Yeah. When we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we are in self-control. When we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, our lips can be girdled. It can be tightened. We don't have to just say any and everything we think and feel, because when the Holy Spirit is present, We are concerned about others. We are concerned about who we may hurt. We are concerned about saying the right thing. We are concerned about standing up for what righteousness is. We're concerned about that. Matthew 28:18-20. And it says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Point at yourself. Point at you. It's been given to you. For therefore, and make disciples of all, who? All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded them to do. Now that's what Jesus, you know, when you go into the ministry, you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan. Like I said, John the Baptist, he had a plan. And he was going to the nations to tell them that there was someone that was coming. Well, here we see that Jesus, in his ministry was to make disciples. Hello, to make disciples. Did you hear what I said? That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Disciples were created. Disciples were made. Yes. Just like Jesus did it, you can do it too. Yes, you can. You have the ability that you can make disciples. Yes. Standing up for what is right, standing up for righteousness, not falling for any and everything, but knowing who God is and having a true and relationship with him and being able to lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said acknowledge him. Yeah, even when you think and feel that you did it, acknowledge him, because he is the one who did it. Woo, hallelujah. Yeah. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Glory to God. He's an able God. And he desires to have able people. And you are one of those able people. Yeah, you're one of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has chosen you. You are handpicked to stand up for what is right. You are handpicked to have a voice crying in the wilderness. Yeah, your wilderness could be right in your house. You don't have to go into the forest. Your wilderness could be right here at home. Your wilderness could be right at work. Your wilderness could be right in your community. Cry out and let them know that Jesus is coming. He's on his way. He's on his way. He's on his way back. And tell him that he's coming for a church. What? A church. Glory to God. That's without a spot, a blemish, or a wrinkle. He's coming. Yes, he's coming for the bride. He is the groom, and he is coming. Let him know that he's on his way. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word, God. We thank you for listeners, God, all over the world. Master, we are grateful. We thank you for this time. We ask, oh God, that you continually bless us in the areas we need blessings in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We look forward to having you back here with us next Friday and, of course, on Sunday evenings with God's ministry. And on Saturdays with Sister Sadie, with the kids. That's a delightful show. That is a delightful show. To hear Sister Sadie with the children. Be blessed. Amen.